We're talking today with Terry Dietrich of the American Farmers and Ranchers. And Terry, a lot of issues going on right now, but maybe first of all, I know that this is something that's very near and dear to your heart. AFR, very well known, not just as a general farm organization that works with farmers and ranchers, but you spend a lot of your resources on young people and youth. And you're right in the middle of a lot of activities at this time of year.
We certainly are, Ron, and we love this time of year. It's encouraging to me to see the youth of tomorrow. We've got some really first-class young people out there, and we're trying to do our best. We will invest over $300,000 a year just in youth development programs, leadership development programs for youth. And I'm really excited about now starting a new program called Leadership Education and Development, LEAD, LEAD. And we're having a big kickoff July the 18th. We're going to be buying a lot of tickets at the Dodgers ballpark that night. But we're going to then divide them and get them into districts, and then we start working. And the thing that we need to do, we've got all this technology and research that keeps coming down the pike, and more every day with the use of computers that – at my age, years ago, we didn't have to worry about a lot of things we have to worry about today. In fact, I was at OSU and listened to a gentleman who was the first one to do an experiment with anhydrous ammonia nitrogen fertilizer. And he told the young people, he said, all I had to worry about was yield. I had to increase yield. Today, you've got to worry about what's it do to the air quality, what's it do to the water quality, what's it do to soil health, and as well as yield. So today's young people are facing a whole different challenge than I did when I was their age. So this LEAD program is designed to help them meet that challenge, give them exposure, bring people to talk to them, work with them that they just normally wouldn't get. And so, also, I hope it can evolve into a mentorship program for those who are a little bit older. There's a two-way street there. I think some of our young people need to be able to pick up a phone and call somebody that's already successful in a given area and say, I have this opportunity. What do you think of it? Likewise, I can see some guys my age that need to pick up the phone and call one of those younger people and say, hey, come help me set my GPS self-steer or my planter or whatever with the technology. So I'm really looking forward to the potential of that. I think it can be a great deal.
Some of the issues that are out there right now, kind of front and center for Oklahoma agriculture is State Question 777. We're still organizing. Where are we really in trying to bring all the groups together to be able to sing from the same hymnal, I guess you might say?
Well, I think, of course, we've always heard every problem is an opportunity if we look at it as such. And this has been a tremendous opportunity for the ag groups to say, hey, we've all got to face this issue and let's work together to do it. And I am very pleased to be a part of a really tight coalition of agriculture groups. And as I think you've probably heard me say before, for this coalition to really be effective, we can't have heroes. We all got to work for the common cause. And I don't care whether somebody contributes because they're an AFR member. I just want them to contribute to the future of production agriculture in Oklahoma. And all this right to farm thing, State Question 777, is to protect us into the future in case we were ever to encounter a very liberal legislature that would start putting regulations on agriculture production, such as is going on right now, and it's increasing the cost of food tremendously in California. Those poor guys have got so many regulations they have to comply with that many of them are just ready to sell out and go somewhere else in the United States and reinvest their money. We're looking at a 9 billion population by 2050, and we're losing acres every day to development on which to produce that food. So let's take sound science, let's take the research, and let's make sure that we have the right so that researchers can have something to shoot for and know that they're not going to develop something that's going to be shot out of the saddle. Let's use sound science to enhance the production capabilities of livestock and crops. That's all this is about, so we can continue to have an abundance of food at a reasonable price and be able to feed that 9 billion people by 2050. And we've all got to work together to do it.
Good coalition, but you are anticipating at some point some folks that don't like production agriculture today are going to come in and they're going to present a huge obstacle to getting a yes vote.
Ron, you're exactly right, and we're facing a lot of money. A couple of years ago, I think there was the HSUS that I think I saw some figures had something like a $200 million income, and they ran ads on how to rescue these kitties and these dogs and so on, and less than one half of 1% of their contributions that year went for that cause. These people are an offshoot of the same people who in past have destroyed, have bombed experimental labs where we were using animals in experiments to protect and save human lives, such as the sudden infant death syndrome. That was one of the big ones that caught my attention in years past. And they not only destroyed the lab that included the animals, they destroyed the records and the research and so on. So set us back. How many babies' lives did that cost us? You know, we got to have some common sense. We got to use sound science and enhance what's already natural, what nature has already provided for us, and learn how to use that more efficiently.
Let's talk about one other thing that's going on right now here at the state. We've got Oklahoma Board of Agriculture, our state Department of Agriculture, working on some regulations. They've got to either re-up or let some current regulations expire regarding some of the hunting facilities that work with wild hogs, feral hogs. This is, you know, the growing population of hogs in this state. They've come across in large part from Texas, and I know the problem really gets to be when folks capture some hogs and move them around without any sort of regulation.
Ron, that's an interesting subject, and we, of course, our cornerstone of our organization always has been private property rights. So we want to protect those, but if those rights infringe on the rights of someone else, then they're really not a right. And I like to put it very simply. If we hear sometimes, well, we don't want overregulation. No, we don't want overregulation. If we were to tell somebody, if we were going to regulate who could own an automobile or not, that would be overregulation. But if we allow automobiles and we don't have some laws regulating how they're operated, that would be a neglect of our responsibilities. Well, I think we have the same thing here. If somebody wants to have a hunting facility, and that's their private right, but it should not be one that allows the spread of disease. And a lot of these feral hogs carry diseases, and we've just got to be very careful about that. And they've got to have the fences that'll hold them, and I think they need to be held responsible if they don't hold them, because we many times are introducing feral hogs into an area that's not native to them. And along with that, disease, and they are horribly, horribly destructive to crops. And our policy is very plain. Whatever the wildlife is, if it is destructive to production agriculture, our policy encourages wildlife and Oklahoma Department of Agriculture to work together and the landowner, and let's eradicate whatever we need to that's destroying our ability to produce food for this country. And feral hogs, the disease, et cetera. And I know there's a lot of people who really capitalize on the hunting. And if properly regulated, they have a right to do that. We'll fight for that right to do that. But we're going to fight first and foremost to make sure that that is done in a way that does not infringe upon the private property rights of their neighbors.